Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
All that God created us to be, if really, really our life was hidden in Christ. And the good news is that not only that, we would be bold, we would be courageous, we would be at peace, we would be strong, we would have powers to set people free, we would have power to heal the sick, we have power to raise the dead, we could cast out demons, we could cleanse the lepers, because Jesus is in us, right? So it's really like, I feel like, God, what are you saying to me? It's like, and last time, I don't know if you remember, I preached about a dream I had, and it was about temporary roadblocks, and that the road that we're on, there's like some roadblocks, but it's just temporary. We're meant to stay on and wait patiently, listening, alert, and then just watching out as that road opened up so we can move forward. It might be just two or three cars along and we pulled over and it stopped again, and it's definitely been like that the last few weeks. So much has happened, you know, in my home life, in business, and where situations have suddenly opened up, but then it's like, oh, it stopped again. And it's like, ah, it can be quite frustrating. It can be like, God, I just want to get there, sort of thing. And anyway, the other day I was reading one of my Bible studies, and it asked a question. And normally I can, like, and it gave you like three options of answers, and normally I can always pick one, sometimes even two. And the questions were, how can you trust God today? Ask yourself that. How can you trust God today? Simple question, right? Sure, you already have some answers. Well, the ones that were presented were this. Number one, I can trust that he has my best interest at heart. Number two, I can trust that he cares about my well-being. Number three, I can trust that his law is good. Well, I realised on that particular day, I couldn't choose any of those options. And it was like, God, actually, I can't trust you in any of those. And I was thinking, that's not right. That's not what is going on. And over the next few days, God started to show me some lies that I'd been believing. Because let's face it, if God really loved me and you and cared about me and my well-being and all these things, had my best interest at heart, then why am I going through this situation, right? Why am I suffering? Why is this health issue continuing? Why is this problem coming over and over again? It's like, it's easy to lose heart, right? It's easy to lose hope. It's challenging when things come again and again and again. And Jesus did say, in this world there will be tribulations, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And even though I know this scripture, I'm sure you all know it too, we often forget. We can moan about those tribulations, we can lose heart and get frustrated, and you know, as a prophetic person, I always have this conversation with Clive, because we could be quite similar in that we're much more sort of like visionary, and because of that, I'm always wired to think ahead. I'm always focused on the dream, the vision that God's placed in me, and already I'm there. So my impatience really shows up when it's like, God, I just want to get there now. Anyone else with me here? And I'm like, yeah, I just want to get there. And I forget about the journey. And I remember a quote from John Paul Jackson. Anyone heard of John Paul Jackson? He was like one of the sort of first people to really have the gift of dream interpretation. And he wrote lots of books and did lots of teaching. And he was an amazing, amazing man of God. And he shared an encounter that he had with God where he was like, I just want to get there. And Father God said to him, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. It's about me being with you and hanging out with you. And that's where most of us are, aren't we? We just want to get where we want to, and often we don't enjoy the journey. I know I'm one of those, I'm guilty of those. And every encounter, every experience, every revelation we have from God, it's an invitation to walk with him. The end goal isn't the revelation. The end goal isn't the encounter. The end goal is just to know him more. Because when we know him, we can trust him. We know he's not going to let us down. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a dream, and it was not a good dream. And I was in this building, and I heard God say, "Batten down the hatches." And it was like a real, like, do it now sort of thing. So we shut all the doors, we pulled down all the blinds, and there was like a trap door on the floor, and we lifted it up and went underground. It was like a real sort of like bunker style basement. And I was laying on a bed, and there was this wasp that was violently buzzing on my back. And the wasp reminded me of, anyone watch Transformers, where they send those, like, I don't even know what it's called, and it comes buzzing along, and it had eyes, and it was like here to spy us out, and it felt like one of those. And I was like laying down, and it was like buzzing on my back, and I was thinking, do I roll over and run the risk of it like stinging me in the face or something, or do I just sort of keep lying down and try and squash it? And literally I got woken up, and physically I could feel like my back was really had this buzzing sensation. And I was like, God, what was all that about? You know, so I started to pray. And I really felt that he was saying, I need to stay alert. I need to stay in his protection, not my own. And that the enemy is going to attack me, but it's going to be unpleasant, right? But I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And you know, that morning, I when I woke up, Ben and I were meant to go to Amsterdam for my birthday, and we were only going for like one night, a couple of days, and we were at the airport, waiting in the departure lounge, waiting for our gates to open, and then suddenly we looked up and the flight got way delayed. Like, it was like, it really isn't worth going, because I'll go there, sleep and come back again. So me and Ben were like, okay, come on, let's just go, we'll do something else. And then as we were waiting to find out how to get out of the departure gate, because normally it's just gates to depart, right, not to exit, we've then found out that all the flights to Amsterdam were cancelled that day. So we managed to get out, we got a taxi back home, and then we then went off to the Cotswolds. And you know what, if it was, even if it was like a few weeks ago, even if I hadn't had that dream, but because I had that dream, God had already prepared me for this. And it was like, even that was pointless journey to the airport. It was a pointless journey to the airport. We still managed to have a lovely time. I was able just to enjoy and just cherish that moment with my husband, because, you know, we don't often get time to just spend together quality time. And I just loved even the journey driving to God. And we just had such a lovely time. And that's how it is with Father God. It's like, it's not just about getting to where you want to get to. God wants us to enjoy being with him, just having that precious time. And yeah, God is so good like that. I mean, there's other things that happen, which I won't share today, but it was just, God is so kind. He just prepares us, and when we come under his protection, we're able to have the grace to go through it with peace, with joy, with gladness that we got today. And that's part of the wholeness that God wants us all to be, in a place where, you know, you're going to have tribulation, but God wants to give you a way out. He's going to show you how to pray into that situation. He's going to give you grace to go through, the strength, that supernatural strength to go through. So God really loves us so much. He doesn't want to leave us where we are. He wants us to be free from fear, from anxiety. He wants us to learn to trust him. And we do that when we get to know him more. And, you know, so many things have happened in the last few weeks, and definitely I feel a shift in me. And I can say that I've got a lot better at sleeping in the storm, through the storm. You know, Jesus just fell asleep in the storm, didn't they? And can you remember the disciples were like, "Do you not care?" And normally I'd be like, "Do you not care, God, that I'm going through this storm?" And God is teaching me, you know what? You can just stay at peace whilst you're going through it. You can walk in peace as you're going through and walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I got this phrase that if Jesus can do it, then I can do it. So whatever you're going through, look in your Bible. Did Jesus do it? If he did, then you can do it. And this is the beginning. And then it's like, God, what are you doing in me? And I heard this testimony. I was listening to a podcast, and I've mentioned Michael Maiden before, and he's an American guy. He had a mega church, and his friend was the treasurer of the church, and he took off with millions. Can you imagine what a scandal that was? Well, they were in the local papers for months and months and months, and the church fell apart. Michael, he had a massive nervous breakdown. He went into depression. He was suicidal. His family went through lots of stuff as well. And even before the scandal, actually, there was a pastor down the road from the church, and every week he would preach against Michael. He would actually stand in the pulpit and shame and name and shame Michael. Can you imagine doing that? And anyway, after about 10 to 15 years, God restored Michael and gave him a new church. And then later on, God gave him a church building worth $40 million. Got faith to believe that, Clive. $40 million, okay. And you know what? The church building that he got, guess which building it was? It was a church of the pastor that used to name and shame him. Now, you think that is good. It doesn't stop there. Normally, I would just stop there and think, wow, God, you are the God of recompense, right? Beauty for ashes. Well, actually, when Michael got to that church, there was another pastor in that church, and he said, who was the previous pastor? And they gave him his name, and they basically got a plaque made, and Michael invited this pastor to the church, and they presented him with this plaque and honored him, and they became friends. That really spoke to me, because, you know, we often know it's right to forgive, because that's a command. It's not even like it's a good thing to do. God commands us to do that. But how often do we then see that relationship completely restored and reconnected? And God was really speaking to me about a certain situation in my life, a relationship. You see, what the enemy intended for evil, God wants to use for good. Just like that example, Michael, it's like not only did God give him a new church, a new building, he, you know, renewed and brought this relationship together, the pastor. It's like, God is so good. And I realized that God was prompting me through this to not only forgive, but to reconnect and to honor that person. And obviously, I'm still on the journey. And obviously, you know, God also uses wisdom and set safe boundaries as well, depending on who those people are. But often when we've been hurt, we will forgive them. But you know what happens when that happens? We will unknowingly build walls to self-protect. And this is like really key. I mean, this is what I feel like God is really wanting me to bring today, just checking time. Because when we build walls, they become strongholds. And where there's a stronghold, do you know what happens? Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father God, the Godhead, will seem untrustworthy to you because of hurts, because of disappointments. So if you're struggling with any issues from hearing from God, from trusting him, there's often a wall there and a lie we've believed. And it'll be because of a wound. So how do we deal with it? If that's you, I know it's me, it's been me. And there can be lots of different types of walls as well. Just like in the house, there's lots of different walls for different rooms. And God was showing me that because I was hurt, because of that situation, that disappointment, my response was God didn't protect me in the way I felt he should have. So my trust for him to protect me in this situation, or if it happens again, was pretty low. My confidence became, well, God didn't protect me, so-and-so didn't protect me, so what happens is, well, I'm going to have to protect myself. Not Jesus, not God. You see, I believe the lie that, and this often happens, and this happened in my case for years, that I felt that because of, I didn't think God protected me in that time, I felt like the person was the enemy. Note that the person is never the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And the other thing was that actually this enemy, this person is even too big for God to handle. And that's a lie. Because what is above God? What is above Jesus, guys? Nobody. Nobody, exactly. But in my heart, that's what I believed. And so I struggled for God to protect me. I struggled to believe that he had my best interest at heart. I actually did. I didn't realise that. And that he didn't really care about my well-being because, you know, I haven't been that well, you know. So guess what? I'm going to look out for my own best interest. I'm going to take care of things. And over the course of my life, I had picked up some pretty unhealthy tools to look after myself. Some of them were like control, manipulation, anger, worry, fear, anxiety, pride. My way is the best way, that's all control. And disconnection with people. Because when you put up walls, that's what happens. It stops people from coming close to you, and it definitely stops God coming close to you as well. So I got this picture a few weeks ago of a cup, and it was full. As I looked closely, it was lots of hairline cracks, and I could see hot water being poured in, and it just started to leak and break and spill out. And then I saw, it was almost like, you know, God gluing it, resetting it, filling it, filing it down. And it was like a whole restoration process. And then later on, I came down for prayer, and Sam started to pray and prophesy over me, and he said that he saw a room and it was completely emptied and clear, and it was ready for like a renovation and makeover. It was like a blank canvas ready for the new interior design to transform and completely changed the way it looked. And he said that he saw the walls had cracks in it. And it wasn't just being like filled out with polyfiller, you know, like you do a quick fill here and a fill there. He said, actually, the wall panels were being torn down and completely replaced with brand new ones. And I completely related to that. Because and he said, the process feels uncomfortable, and that's definitely what I'm going through, just like really uncomfortable. And he said, it's like when you're renovating a room, you have to move all your stuff out, so everything is all packed away, and you haven't got all your natural comforts of everything, and it just feels really uncomfortable, and it requires patience and perseverance. And yeah, and I was like, I was really encouraged by that. And then he went on to say, and this is what I feel to say to all of us today. The good news is that God is wanting to break down some walls that we've built to protect ourselves so he can build new ones. And that new one is actually him, because Father God is our protector. And he's doing that not just to stop there. I mean, that's great anyway, isn't it? But it's so that he can pour in the new things that he has for us. You know, we heard about the oil today. God wants to pour in the more, and the more he has for us, we cannot contain it in our current state. I cannot contain. This is what God was saying. You cannot contain. You've done really well for now, so far. You've done great. But the new I have for you, I have so much more for you, and you cannot contain it in your current state. And he was wanting to restore us, guys. So like a car, it needs an MOT. Sometimes you might need a complete oil change. Sometimes you might need a new engine. Or even better, you might need a new vehicle. Depends how well you've looked after it. And I've shared this before, that, you know, I've been swimming, and often Holy Spirit speaks to me. And there's one just recently, I thought, I'll put some goggles on. I never wear goggles, and suddenly I could see everything underwater. I thought, this is brilliant. Yeah. And Holy Spirit just suddenly said, I'm going to give you eyes to see underwater. I'm going to give you eyes to see in the spirit realm, because you know, when you see what God sees, it gives you hope for that situation. He gives you a way out, how to pray for that situation, he gives you hope. He gives you power to pray. Seeing things in God's perspective is so cool, because it's like, there's so much of the world's perspective there. We want to know what God's doing. We want to know what God's seeing. And yeah, because God is always, always a good, good Father. He's always about bringing restoration, salvation, redemption, giving us beauty for ashes. He wants to see people healed and delivered and saved. He wants us all to have wholeness in our lives. So when we see situations in God's eyes, we're able to release what God's doing. So, you know, I shared last week about an encounter where I saw a picture of myself, and then I saw a picture of Jesus, and it was the beginning of God just showing me, you know, that your life is hidden in him. Your life is hidden in him. If you try to self-protect, Jesus isn't going to be the one that gets seen by others. I assure you. So, today, I really feel like God, right, we're going to do some. Who wants to ask Jesus to knock down some walls today? Because this is where we're going, guys. Because, you know, walls are there. They're built to protect ourselves. They hold us in prison, in captivity. They stop God from protecting us. Our trust is in ourselves and our own strength, like I said. But I'm going to just use a Sozo tool today, and it's called literally the wall tool. And the wall structure is there because we've built it. or someone else has built it for us. And it does protect us and stop people from harming us, but what the war also does, it stops the Godhead to come close to us. So if you are one of those where you're struggling to know the closeness of God, then there's likely to be a war there. So I'm going to use this tool. I used this tool recently, and I saw a wall, and it looked like a tortoise shell. So it looked different for everybody, but expect to see something that you might not, it won't be literally a physical wall. And anyway, this tortoise shell was thick and scaly, green and full of gunk. It was heavy, and it basically stopped others protecting me from coming close, and I relied on myself, which was a false covering, and I'd carried it over the years, and God revealed some things that had built that wall, the reason why I built it. And after some forgiveness, repentance, God gave me a tool. So that's the next step. God asked God for a tool to take down that wall. So for me, he gave me a spiritual acid to melt that wall away. And when that left, I just felt so free. I was free to just allow God to protect me. And not only that, I was free to allow my husband to protect me too. Because often you'll stop others from wanting to love you and protect you because you can't trust them. So who wants to have a go? Well, I'm going to get everyone to stand. I just want you to follow me in prayer. Just say it out loud, because there's power in declaration. And just listen and hear and sense what Father God or Holy Spirit is Jesus saying to you. So just follow me in prayer. So, Lord Jesus, is there a wall I have used to protect myself?
Is there a wall that I have used to protect myself?
And then say, is it safe for the wall to come down?
Is it safe for the wall to come down?
And if you sense yes, then just say, Father God, will you send your angels now, and protect me? And show me the wall. So some of you, just look at the wall. How high is it? Is it wide? What's it made of? Where are you in relation to the wall? As I said, your wall will look different. It might just look like mist. It might look like a net. It might look like smoke. Or a tortoiseshell, like for me. So just picture that wall. And now repeat after me. Father God, give me a tool to tear down this wall.
Give me a tool to tear down this wall.
Yeah. And when you sense what that tool is, as I said, mine was like acid to pour on that tortoiseshell. Yours might be like a pair of scissors or a hammer or whatever it is that you've got. I just want you to do a prophetic act as you pray and just say this. I use this tool.
I use this tool.
And I tear down this wall right
and
now.
I tear down this wall right now.
What do you see now? Is the wall gone? Feels good. Some of you, there might still be a bit of wall left. If that is the case, I just encourage you. Just say, Father God, who do I need to forgive? Yeah. Because often we've believed a lie about Father God because of a wound. So just go in there. And then once you've forgiven that person, just use the tool again. You can do this, you know, continue the rest of the service, take it home, pray into it a bit more. And for those of you, you've seen the wall come down, let's just say, Father God, thank you.
Thank you.
For taking down this wall.
Thank you.
We thank you for your truth.
And we thank you for your truth.
And we thank you for your love.
We thank you for your love.
And we just allow you now, Father God, to be our protection.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.